Last night, Governor Tony Evers delivered his State of the State address. He talked about his plans for a projected $3.8 billion budget surplus and celebrated the state's historically low unemployment rate.
We now have the lowest unemployment rate and the fewest number of people unemployed ever.
Legislative Republicans called the address a stump speech for the upcoming November election and say they're unlikely to pass the governor's budget surplus proposals. Lily Gorin is a professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She's the author of multiple books on political science. Lily, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on today.
Well, let's start with what we just heard from the governor there, pointing toward the low unemployment rate in the state. That's something governors want to take credit for. They get blamed when unemployment rates go up. Can you talk about the politics of claiming credit for an unemployment rate?
Well, I mean, as you note, people in executive offices, either presidents or governors, often claim credit for good economic times and try to avoid blame for bad economic times. And so you see that going on now in terms of the labor market across the United States. It is a pretty solid labor market for people who are looking for jobs. People have been leaving jobs and taking new jobs. And there is low unemployment in lots and lots of sectors.
The back and forth on this and many other issues between the governor and Republicans who control the legislature is, in effect, I did it. No, we did it. How do we sort out that?
Well, again, it's, you know, sort of the complications of what economics is, and sort of the politics is like, who made the decisions that that sort of prompted this economic upturn, and a variety of things are at play, obviously. So there is definitely credit claiming by Governor Evers and the Democrats. There's credit claiming by the Republicans in that assembly and the Senate. And you see some of the same sort of dialogue going on at the national level as well. And, you know, you had the sort of extreme economic contraction at the beginning of COVID. And so we've now had, you know, sort of as COVID has subsided a bit, although not completely, and you've had sort of changes in the employment dynamics, both in Wisconsin and across the nation.
We've got this budget surplus now, over $3 billion, almost $4 billion projected in the state's budget. Let's hear what the governor says about that.
This is the people's money. Let's get it back to them.
Now, before we talk about what we do with the money, Lily, can you talk about why we have this state budget surplus?
Well, I mean, and it goes to the fact that there are more people who are employed. And so there are more people who are paying taxes. And you also have businesses that are doing business. And so they too are also paying taxes. And, you know, from everything that I understand, the anticipation was of less of a surplus. But because of the sort of ratcheting up of employment, more people have, in fact, been paying taxes.
The governor is saying, let's do stuff with the surplus. He mentioned giving it back to people. He said, hey, how about a check? Everybody gets $150 out of the surplus. Republicans say that's just an election year budget ploy. There's a lot more. First of all, can you talk about that idea of, hey, everybody gets a taste of this surplus?
Yeah, I mean, this is again, sort of like, okay, there are coffers in the state house that have more money than they expected. Obviously, there is also some state debt that has been accrued over years. And there's a lot of discussion also, not only of, you know, this idea of sending checks back to Wisconsinites, but also and or, you know, using the money to do things like infrastructure, which is something we've also heard about at the national level, and something that we have had people concerned about with regard to road repair projects and other infrastructure spending. And here's money, right? in the state coffers. And so the question then becomes, like, what do you want to do with this?
Now, Republicans have said, let's not burn through this right now. Let's just factor this in, try to get some tax cuts in the next budget cycle. So it doesn't look like lawmakers and the governor are likely to agree on what to do with the surplus in the coming year. Does that sound about right?
That sounds about right, unless there's some sort of coming together with regard to some infrastructure spending, which I don't necessarily anticipate.
Right. That's something that underlies all of this. And maybe I should have brought it up at the start. There's not been a real strong collaborative relationship between the Democratic governor and Republicans in the legislature. How has that shaped Wisconsin politics over the last few years?
Well, I mean, what you have is a legislature that generally doesn't want to do what the governor would like to do. And the governor, who, you know, is sort of constantly doing battle with the legislature. And occasionally they do come to a common area. Like we had the passage of the Holocaust education enactment a couple months ago, I think, maybe more than a couple months ago. But, you know, here you have, you know, sort of everybody positioning for the election that's upcoming. And you've got two statewide offices in particular that people are paying a lot of attention to, the governor's office and Ron Johnson's Senate seat. And so there's a lot of also like politicking about how to sort of position yourself as a Republican, as a Democrat, in terms of what you want to say to voters.
We are talking about the governor's State of the State address last night. Lily Gorin is with us from Carroll University. Let's check out the governor's proposals related to the National Guard and mental health. Here's a listen to some of what he had to say.
These folks have stepped up to serve our state time and time again during one of the direst periods of our state's history. And their service has not come without a cost, emotionally, physically, and mentally. Our effort to invest more than $3 million into expanding the Guard's wellness program was gutted from my last biennial budget. It would have increased access to important mental health and wellness support for more than 9,000 Guard members. Well, tonight, I'm announcing I'm going to do it anyway.
Before we talk about the Guard and this idea of investment in itself, Lily, Evers announced a $5 million investment to do what he was just talking about there. He can do it with federal COVID relief money, which gives the governor a tool that he might not usually have if he had to rely on the legislature to fund this kind of thing.
Again, some of the money that's coming from the federal government with regard to COVID relief is broadly applicable. So it's at the discretion of the governor, whichever governor that is Tony Evers, or Governor Abbott in Texas, say. And so the decision is up to them to some degree where to put the money that's coming from the federal government to help with COVID relief in whatever form that takes. And in this capacity, because the National Guard has been used in terms of getting testing done and so forth, that is one of the areas that Governor Evers has highlighted as a place where he thinks some of this COVID funding should go with regard to mental health issues.
Is this something that you could see bipartisan cooperation? I mean, the politics of keeping National Guard members mental well-being in good shape, that seems like something you could bring people together on?
It does seem like it. But because, again, this is, you know, sort of an area that Evers had already advocated for, that had already been through the budget process, that we already have people who have taken positions on it, it seems like it has also become a divisive issue.
Republicans talked some about what the governor didn't talk a lot about, including we've got nationally crime trends, especially violent gun homicide trends going up. They accused the governor of kind of glossing over that. What did you make of the governor not spending a lot of time on issues like crime?
Well, again, you know, it is in his fourth year as he's running for re-election, an area that he doesn't necessarily want to highlight, but it is also in terms of a State of the State address, it is positioning him in terms of like what he wants to capitalize in his campaign for re-election. And so that may be one of the areas that he doesn't necessarily want to highlight as much as others want to highlight it for him.
And finally, Lily, one of the big issues in this election, especially the Republican primary for governor, is how we run elections. Debates among Republicans over how far to go when it comes to reexamining, maybe overturning one of the candidates says the 2020 elections, which the legislature can't do. One of the candidates wants to do that. How important is election administration, the Wisconsin Elections Board, these issues? How important are they going to be in the race?
They may be very important, particularly in the primary, in the Republican primary. And I'm assuming during the general election, they will be something that is focused on. But again, I'm not necessarily sure how much Governor Evers wants to spend paying attention to the sort of proposals that some of the candidates are making.
Lily, we'll leave it there. As always, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
That's Lily Gorin, professor of political science and global studies at Carroll University in Waukesha. She's the author of multiple books on political science, and she joins us today to talk about last night's State of the State address and the Republican response.